God would like us to empty ourselves of every preconceived idea of what we think these meetings ought to be like, and let the Lord just do what he wants to do. Leaning not unto our own understanding, but just trusting in him. Leaning on his everlasting arms, letting him lead us through these days as he sees fit, and just abandoning ourselves to him. I believe God has a plan for us for these days. I believe that he knows exactly what we need as a congregation and exactly what we need as individuals. Praise the Lord. And so I, for one, would like to be emptied of anything that I might have had in my mind in respect to these meetings, and let the Lord take over, emptying me and filling me, emptying you and filling you. Praise God. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, with no opinions of our own, but just letting Jesus take over. And I think that's pretty safe, don't you?
Greet all of you personally, but perhaps I have missed up on some, and some have come in since we have had breakfast. We're certainly very happy to see each and every one of you, and trust that God will richly bless you in our time together. We never know what kind of a turn a meeting such as this will take, and so consequently, perhaps this is the best time to make just a few little announcements concerning the program of the day, and then also with regard to tomorrow. And then should the meeting end in a way which might not be fitting to introduce announcements, you will have had these little words of instruction for the 65th Psalm, the 10th verse, Thou visitest the earth. I might read the last of the 8th. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to praise thee. Thou visitest the earth and blessest it. Thou makest it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. Thou preparest their corn. That means that God is preparing the food for us today. For so thou providest for the earth. Thou waterest her furrows, thou sendest rain into the little valleys thereof. Thou makest it soft with the drops of rain, and blessest the increase of it. And then this word, thou crownest the year with thy goodness. As far as our camp is concerned, this is the crown of the year, this is the end of the year. And thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy clouds drop fatness. Praise the Lord. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy clouds drop fatness. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. And God is here to show unto us his goodness. Oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that trust in thee, which thou hast wrought for the sons of men. It is a very great thing that God has done for us. Hallelujah. His goodness is great. And our heart should be open unto him to receive of that goodness. And the clouds drop fatness. Praise God for these clouds of the latter rain, for these clouds that are indeed above us, above our heads, above this meeting. And oh, thank God for the way in which he himself is here to water our souls, to feed us with the bread of life, and to indeed satisfy the hungry with good things. Let us enjoy the table of the Lord. For certainly he has spread it for us, and certainly there is something for everyone. There is a portion for everyone. Your need is not my need, And my need is not the need of somebody else here, but oh, thank God, our needs are met in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we worship Him together, as we wait upon Him together, as we look full in His wonderful face, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thou crownest the year with Thy goodness. The clouds drop fatness. Praise His precious name. Let us accept this goodness. And let us accept this fatness from His hand. Before I sit down, I think it would be nice if we could all unite in prayer for one of our workers whose birthday it is today, Phyllis Roman, that God would bless this young woman and cause His full will to be done in her life for the honor and glory of His great name's sake. Let us all pray for our sister Phyllis. The Lord knows her need.
Bandarobola falsereke, Yolo Kambandaro Salabaram Bande Shila Kamba.
Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But all the Holy Spirit reveals them unto him.
Wonderful, very, very precious, which many people have thought a good deal about. They have written poems about it. They have written books about it. They have had very lovely meditations about it and a real interest in it. And it speaks of it here under the figure of the rest of God. Now we realize, of course, that this does not refer to inactivity by any manner of means. It does not refer to just sleep and inertia. That is not, of course, what it is talking about at all. But it is talking about one of the most wonderful things that any child of God can experience and any worker for God can and should experience. Then it says something else here which we ought to all do well to take heed to. And that is that let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. It is one thing to have the promise, and it is another thing to enter into the realization of the promise, or even to begin to enter into the realization of the promise. It is one thing to talk about the blessings that are referred to in this particular chapter, or chapters, and it is another thing to, in any sense of the word, enter into the blessedness of the experience referred to here. In this connection, I'm reminded of something that my commercial law teacher wrote in my yearbook or autograph book when I was in high school. He knew that I was a Christian, and he himself had had a Christian background. I believe that at one time in his life he had contemplated entering the ministry, but somehow or other he was deflected from that course, and I doubt very, very much if at the time when I had him as a teacher he was walking with the Lord at all. But anyway, he knew what a person should do if he were walking with the Lord. And he had a little touch of sarcasm and wit about him. And, of course, there was always underneath all of that truth, too. And so when I asked him to write for me, well, he wrote this word and didn't quote it exactly accurately. I remembered that. But anyway, I knew what he was saying, and I took the point. I always felt that it was a real message from the Lord to me. And it was this word, be not hearers of the word, but doers also. Be not hearers of the word only, but doers also. Now, of course, we all realize that that comes from the book of James. And it is certainly an exceedingly important word for every one of us. It's so easy to be a hearer. It's so easy to be a reader. It's so easy to be a talker. It's so easy to contemplate so many of the spiritual truths of God. But the important thing is, are we doers? Are we doers of the word and not hearers only? Not too long before that, comparatively speaking, although it was really some little time, you might call it time-wise, but at the same time when I was in high school, the Lord himself got a hold of me and used one of his ministers to talk to me one time. I myself became a Sunday school teacher quite young in life through no fault of my own, and I was sort of pushed into it in the Sunday school that I was attending at that time. And so when I was 12, I found myself with a class of 10 boys, 7 years of age. And I had that class for a year or two. And then it was after that a minister got a hold of me and talked to me about some of the things of God and how important it was to be sure that we paid attention to just these simple fundamentals, for instance, the fruit of the Spirit, and such a passage as Philippians 4:8, and 1 Corinthians 13. These three passages of Scripture were particularly called to my attention at that time. As minister felt definitely led of the Lord, I know it was in God's great appointment to talk to me about these things and how that God would like me to deal with him about them and pray about them and live them. And then said this very interesting little word, as it were, out of a clear blue sky. But it was, in a sense of the word, like a bolt of lightning, and it struck me, and it's remained with me ever since. You could probably, this minister went on to say, you could probably teach these things to your Sunday school class. You could probably teach these things to your Sunday school class. But be sure that you practice what you preach. Be sure that you live what you are talking about. Be sure that you practice what you preach. Now, of course, I wasn't preaching at all. But that is a phrase that we're all familiar with, and I suppose that every Sunday school teacher, be he 14 or 40, is preaching in a sense of the word. Be sure that you practice what you preach. Be sure that you live what you are talking about. Be sure that you live what you are talking about. And I'm certain that all of this hangs together with this passage of Scripture which we have just read. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now God does not want us in any sense of the word to be discouraged. And God does not want us to have any hopeless attitude whatsoever towards entering into and appropriating and receiving and getting the blessings of God. That's not the type of fear that God is talking about. I'm sure that we realize that. But God is wanting us to have that wholesome concern and that wholesome desire, that fear of God in our hearts, whereby we press on, and which will, to use also another verse in this same chapter, make us to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.